guys, how you doing? It's Coach Treggs here, the founder of 30 Plus Men's Fitness, and welcome to another exciting, well, I hope, podcast. I've been doing my utmost this year to bring you some really top coaches in the field of health, fitness, nutrition, and mindset, and I hope you're getting some great value just as I am from speaking to these guys. Now, today, we are really switching track slightly, okay? So in the last podcast, I interviewed Pat DeVille, and we spoke more about mindset rather than sort of fitness and nutrition. And today, we're kind of going to stay on those tracks. But today, I have got a guy on who I met actually about 4 years ago when he came to a seminar that I did. I actually had a little bit of a sideline where I was teaching fellow coaches, fitness professionals, how to monetize on their passion, actually take what they did online, because I obviously had great success with 30 Plus Men's Fitness. And this guy actually came to one of my seminars in Guildford, and he's gone on to really sort of dominate his area. And I'm really buzzing because I've just spoken to him before we started to record. And yeah, things are really blowing up for him. So I said, how am I going to introduce you? And he simply wants to be known as a happiness coach. So I am sat virtually with my friend, Will Foster, the happiness coach. How are you, Will?
Mark, I'm very good, mate. I'm very good. It's lovely to be here, mate. Lovely to hang out again. I loved your energy when I went on your seminar. I was just buzzing, just sitting there listening to you. You've got a wonderful way about you, my friend. So it's a pleasure to be here.
Awesome. Well, look, it's just, we've literally caught up for like 5-10 minutes off air because we're both busy guys, and you've just told me some of the things that are going down, and I'm really buzzing for you, mate, because you're a great guy. And I think today the lads are going to get a lot of value. And, you know, some people might think, oh, happiness coach, here we go. It's a bit sort of happy clappy. But you know what, guys, I want you to keep an open mind with everything, because, you know, we're busy over 30s, guys. We live chaotic lives. We're running around chasing our tail, and very often we forget to put ourselves first, right? And I know that Will is gonna bring some stuff to the table that we can go and implement straight away. And it's not, you know, like you know, sitting under trees in our bare feet, you know, and doing all this kind of crazy stuff that you'd imagine. So, Will, look, give us a little bit of background on yourself and how you got into this industry. Take us right back, buddy, and it's all over to you, mate. Off you go.
Yeah, cool. No worries, mate. I really started, and I still do some PT as well, but I started out as a PT, much like yourself.
Yep.
And just really enjoyed helping people, you know, get healthier.
Sure.
And that was really how it all began. It was about 10 years ago. And I was a successful PT in London, doing pretty well, running a self-employed business.
Cool.
And, you know, just early mornings, you know, late finishes, I was surviving a lot of coffee, a lot of sugar. I'm sure a lot of the boys listen to this, with stress levels being what they were. And, you know, my body kicked me in the ass for it, because it was about 3 or 4 years into running that business and living that quite hectic lifestyle that I got this thing called psoriasis. Now, some of the people listening to this might know what that is, but it's a skin condition. And it basically is a proliferation of the skin cells. And what happened was I was getting this thing called an autoimmune condition. So I was effectively living and eating and doing what I was doing, and it was affecting my body. It was making my immune system automatically react to, you know, the foods that I was taking on and the kind of stress levels that I was going through. And so basically, here's how the story goes, is I then went on a holiday to Sri Lanka on a surf trip, because I'm big into surfing. That's my big passion.
Yeah.
As I'm sure you're aware, mate. And I was out in the sun, and I didn't know. I mean, I had this idea that sunshine was good for skin, as we all do, you know, or as we all know. But I didn't know it was going to be quite this dramatic, because I mean, I'd gone through some serious waves of depression and anxiety, Mark, you know, in the build up to that holiday. It had been a pretty tricky couple of years for me, being totally honest. And, you know, about 3 days into that holiday in the sun, my skin just completely cleared up. Like, you know, all these big red marks all over my elbows and knees all just got better almost overnight.
Wow.
And having gone from, you know, borderline depressed and anxious to suddenly feeling like, you know, my skin was back to where I wanted it to be, was a wonderful feeling. And I felt like I was back to the old me, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And anyway, a few days rolled by, and I was sat having dinner with some friends, and I had this feeling come out of nowhere, and I don't know why or how or you know what it was initially. It was just this really strange feeling. I was sat at this table with my friends, you know, hear the waves behind us. We're in this kind of rainforest setting. It was really beautiful.
Wow.
And I sat there and I was like, shit. I was like, I'm over this. I've had this major boost in happiness, but I'm already over it. Like, I've already adapted to this. Like, what? Like, you. And I remember, Mark, I remember that night laying under the mosquito night and being like, fucking 2 days?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? I get 2 days of feeling happy for 2 years of pain. And I kept repeating that line in my head over and over and over. And I basically experienced what psychologists call the adaptation effect. It's essentially that no matter what high or low enters your life, we tend to adapt back to the middle, to where we came from.
Sure. Well,
it's like a sort of elastic band. It's like we can get pulled one way or the other, but eventually the band kind of springs back to the middle. Does that make sense?
Mm, yeah.
Yeah. And I then did more digging on that and more research. And I found an amazing study that just blew me away. And it kind of transformed my whole life and my whole career, really, which was that it compared lottery winners with paraplegics, people who had just won the lottery versus people who had just literally lost the ability to walk. And of course,
wow.
both parties in this study had tremendous highs in happiness and tremendous lows, as they would. But the most fascinating thing was is that 6 months down the line, they interviewed the participants in this study, and what happened was that the respective level of happiness and well-being they had going into the incident had gone back to the place it was before.
Wow.
So to me, it just said, my goodness me, happiness and these things we call success or these highs and lows are all going on the outside, but really it's how we take care of the inside and how we perceive life from the mindset that really paves the way for how good we can feel, how well we can feel, how happy we can feel, the quality of our relationships, all kinds of things. And so for me, it was this humongous paradigm shift away from ever assuming that career success or a partner or being in fantastic shape or all these kind of outer things could ever change what can only be changed from within. Because if I go, you see, thing is, Mark, if I go into wanting career success or a six-pack set of abs or whatever it may be with a glass half empty mindset, no amount of six packs or $1 million in the bank is ever going to change that mindset.
Yeah.
You see, if I'm still paying most of my attention to what's wrong with my life, doesn't matter what enters or leaves, I'm still continuing on in the same mindset. So the thing that has to really shift is the way that we perceive life. And bringing that, fast forwarding that onto to my career, I started developing this thing called the happiness gap, which was a way of preventing people from chasing the horizon, chasing the destination all the time. And what it did was I sort of came up with it, and it stands for gratitude for what you have, which is the G.
Yeah.
Acceptance of what you don't, which is the A. And then the P is living in the present. Excuse me, Mark. Is living in the present moment.
Yeah.
And so with that technology, with that mindset technology that I came up with, I started experimenting that with my clients. It was actually mostly my PT clients.
Sure.
And they went through this 21-day gap program that I started setting up, and they just got this tremendous transformation from the inside. It came back to this line, Mark, which was that you don't have to change your life to change your life.
Yeah.
And it was this thing where they could change from the inside out. They could, you know, they might still have that, you know, mother-in-law that pissed them off. They might still have, you know, health conditions, health worries going on. They might still have, you know, money stuff going on, whatever it may be.
Yep.
But they just felt so much happier on the inside, regardless of what was going on the outside. And that led me into my book. And I wrote this book. And this year it's getting published by Hay House. And, you know, we've been on TV this year on ITV.
Wow.
ITV Lorraine doing I did a whole month of shows on there.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
That's fantastic,
it's
man.
It's cool. No, it's good. It's good, mate. It's going in the right direction, pal.
So tell me a little bit about the book. What's it called, buddy?
The book is called Filling the Happiness Gap.
Filling the Happiness Gap. So we'll talk about the book now. Where can the guys get it? Is it on Amazon?
So it will be on Amazon. It will be in bookstores. It's going to be widely published through Hay House Publishers, who a lot of people might know already. They're a sort of self-help publisher. And it'll be in bookstores and also on Amazon as well.
Right. Okay.
That's coming out this November.
Fantastic. Well, okay. So tell us about the book. Tell us what you teach in the book, dude, because I'm really excited to hear about this.
That's wicked, man. Yeah, so essentially, you know, I give that story about the Sri Lanka story, and then I go into basically 10 real life stories as to how the Happiness Gap has helped transform my clients.
Right.
And then what that does is go into the program, because really what this is about, Mark, is how do you do this? Like, how do you actually go about feeling more grateful about life? How do you go about feeling more accepting and more present? And really, it's just about kind of basic skills, basic kind of hands-on practical exercises that can get you feeling those things. So for gratitude, it can be a number of things. But you know what? People have got this idea that, you know, you've got to force positivity, and doesn't gratitude feel a bit icky to a lot of people?
This is really interesting. Really interesting. Yeah, go on, my friend.
Right, because it becomes this whole like, oh, I'm being positive, you know, and it's a little bit fake and it's a bit weird. Here's the thing. When you're more accepting of life and you're more present, you naturally feel more grateful. So you don't have to necessarily force feelings of gratitude. But you see, the thing is, Mark, is this. The other side of the coin is you've also got to train your mindset to see more of the positives too. So it's a two-sided thing. Gratitude works two ways, pal. One way is, if it's just the same way with biceps. You know, if you want bigger, stronger biceps, you've got to do bicep curls. Well, with gratitude, you want to feel more grateful. If you want to feel more positive, you've got to lay in the evening, if you can, and just write down, you know, 5 to 10 things that were good about that day.
Yeah.
And that you're grateful for having. That's the practice element. That's the element that makes some people go, well, that's kind of faking it. Well, to a degree it is, but also you've got to realize that, you know, you can't get fit unless you train your body. Well, in the same way, you can't improve the quality and you know, strength of your mind without training it either. Because what we tend to do, Mark, is we tend to separate the mind and the body, but actually they're just the same tool. You know, if you want stronger legs, you've got to do squats. But if you want a more positive mind, you've got to be able to actually focus on those positives as well. So that's one half of it. So I'd recommend to listeners, if they want to just feel more positive about life, is just to lay in the evening and get into 21-day habit of writing down 5 to 10 things that they're grateful for.
Can I just jump in there, mate?
Please,
it's really interesting
go.
Because with the whole gratitude thing, I was just talking about this with Pat Davili, who you know well, and we spoke about the whole journaling and writing down being grateful. And this is really interesting. You're telling guys to take sort of 10 minutes at the end of each day to write down what they're grateful for. Because let's be fair, right? There are many things in our day-to-day life that we can be grateful for that we are just taking for granted. It's like I said, if you've got running water, if you've got food on the table, if you've enjoyed nice coffee that day, there are many things that you can be grateful for. It doesn't have to be, you're always saying, I'm so grateful for my kids. I'm so grateful for my wonderful partner. I'm so grateful. They can be really simple things, right? Just a conversation you had with somebody. Go on, elaborate a little bit more there, dude.
No, dude, you've absolutely got it. And by the way, it has to be authentic to the person.
Yeah.
You know, whoever's listening to this, whatever you write down in your evening list is for you to own. You know, it could be anything from the fart that you enjoyed first thing in the morning. I mean, I'm serious. I mean, a great fart is a great fart, Mark. Let's be perfectly honest.
Yeah,
mate.
Yeah.
Right the way up to match the day that night. It doesn't have to be anything other than what's authentic to you. And this is one of the big deals, Mark, with anything to do with happiness. I talk a lot about this in the book, and this is where really acceptance comes in. Because acceptance is acceptance of the other parts of this, which is that, you know, I am who I am. And accepting yourself in that way, because I think so often we tend to compare ourselves. You know, with other people that we aspire to be like.
Sure.
When really, and that's a good thing. Like that can really help us, you know, gauge where we want to go in life. But so often, Mark, it's just about us being super authentic to who we are. So when we're writing our gratitude list, you know, it's to accept us in that sense. It doesn't have to be, like you said, it doesn't have to be, oh, it's about your kids, or make it big deal, make it this, make it that. Yeah, it can just be the smallest thing and just accepting that you are who you are and just being authentic in that way. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely perfect, buddy, perfect.
So
the gratitude is one part, yeah? So, okay, so we get that. So tell us about a bit more of the book.
Yeah, so then it goes on to these gratitude exercises that are running people out for on this 21 days. Then it goes into these acceptance exercises, which is about basically setting your stall out that you are going to try as hard as you can. And this is a practice. It's a skill, Mark. It takes time. You got to work at this. But it's to accept the things that you cannot change. It's all those things, Mark, that are outside of our control.
Yep.
That causes this inner tension that we have no control over, and yet we're trying to fight it.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. I see this every day, you know, due to things like social media and people like getting their knickers in a twist over stuff. And I'm thinking, like, you've got no fucking control over that whatsoever. Like, no. Why are you letting that ruin your day? You know, if the news pisses you off so much, then just don't watch it. Yeah, and this is something that I got from Bob Proctor, right? Mm. When I went out to the States with Anthony, who's one of our coaches and investor in my business. We went to Arizona in 2015, and he said, you know, he said the problem is that what did he say? It was about basically. He said, like, you know, the news will only ever report, you know, bad news because, you know, people don't want good news, right?
Yeah,
good news isn't news, right? So he's talking about, like, you know, you're watching the news, you're getting in a bad vibration. Just turn the news off, right? Because for every bad thing that's going on in this world, and there are millions of good things happening every day all over the world. People going about their business, abiding by the rules. You know, they're building, like, schools for kids in Africa and amazing charities. But we don't see that because we just watch the news and we get angry because everything's corrupt and our government's trying to do us and this, that, and the other. But let's be fair, there's a lot of things we just can't control.
So, Mark, so much. And it's about getting conscious because you know what, Mark? So much of this isn't even conscious.
Yeah.
It's the people fighting with stuff they can't control without even knowing it.
Yeah.
And that's the big deal here, mate, is what I try to get people to do is to get more conscious.
Right.
Consciousness really is about waking up and going, whoa, hang on a minute. I can hear my mind right now.
Yeah.
And I can feel my body. And that's a level of mindfulness, which we're going to come onto in a minute about mindfulness. But it's about getting more awake to how you really feel and what it is that's affecting that. And I remember, Mark, I'll give you an insight into how acceptance works on a real practical level. And I was coming back on the train from London. It's about 5 years, 4 years ago, I can't remember. And I was just super pissed off, super unhappy, feeling super stressed. That I was on this hot train coming back from London. It was packed and there were loads of depressed, stressed out people around me. I'm from Devon, which is as I'm sure you're aware, is by the sea.
And,
you know, I'm used to, you know, living by the coast and surfing and outdoors and friendly people and all these things. And I'm like, what the fuck am I doing here? Why am I here? And I was just so stressed. And I remember coming off the platform and I was walking down the platform. And I came into, and I could have gone home. It was a left to go home or a right to go to the park. And I just went, hang on a minute. So I went to the park. I took a right and I walked into the park and there was this beautiful sunset. And I just took a really deep breath. And I just let it go. And I was like, I had this thought, Mark. And it was the first thought I probably had it like this in my whole life. And this is what consciousness is. It's like a waking up.
Sure.
And for me, waking up was, fuck me, Will. You're doing this to yourself, mate. Like, you're not even aware that you're doing this to yourself.
Yeah.
And it was more of this thing, Mark, and it was a line that I use for myself. I tend to use a lot in my videos, which is love yourself enough to want to let it go.
I like that.
Do you know what I mean? Because people do get a bit gooey, a bit gushy about the love word, but really it's about that, mate, because it's like you got to take care of yourself. You've got to take care of yourself to want to feel the best you can feel. And to get the best that you can feel is often just accepting what you can't control.
I really like this about this whole acceptance thing because there are so many things that are out of our control. On a recent podcast, I spoke with a guy called Phil Graham and he said, you know, quite often we go through life and, you know, somebody might have pissed us off. So we try and forget them. We block them on Facebook or whatever. And he says, so just look, just try and learn to live with it. You know, sometimes you've just got to learn to live with it and just be accepting of it, right?
Yeah, buddy, you have. And do you know what acceptance does? It makes you so much stronger.
Yeah.
Because once you've accepted, you go back to feeling good, but you also realize that it's a tremendous strength to do, because yeah. It's so much easier to get pissed off. It's so much easier to blame everybody else. It's so much easier to do all those things when really, if you just show that inner strength to accept it, you become tremendously strong as an individual, and your character grows in so many ways. And actually, it grows in so many ways that ends up helping in so many different areas of your life as well, pal, because as you and I both know, we can't, there are so many variables in this world, you know, down to the kind of foods that we eat, how that affects our bodies, the kind of relationships we're involved with, what we said to people, what we haven't said, you know, that what we put out online, what we do with our weekends. I mean, gee, mate, there, you know, how we manage our lives, the variables are into the thousands. So there are only a few that we've got a grasp and control over. Mm. The rest is just down to how everyone else and how other things respond. And all we can do is show the strength to accept that whatever happens will happen as the way it was supposed to be, because that's the way it happens.
Yeah. Okay. Amazing. So we've got gratitude, and then we've got this whole acceptance thing. Tell me a little bit more about the book as well, buddy. And then we're going to talk about the sort of mindfulness and et cetera, et cetera.
Definitely, mate. So basically the book goes onto the P, which is the presence, and living in the present is really,
wow,
you know, the most powerful part, because we tend to either bring the past along with us into the present, right, as in we're living in regret,
yeah,
or we're worried about what we've done, or we feel guilty about having eaten that cake or gone out for 10 pints of beer with the lads, and we're constantly, the people I work with tend to either live in regret from the past, or they, you know, live in this constant worry about the future, and they tend to live just between the two.
Sure.
It's either like worrying about, you know, bills, people,
yeah,
you know, my weight, my this, my that, where am I going, my career, blah, blah, blah. Or it tends to be, fuck it, I shouldn't have had 10 pints last night. I feel like crap now.
Yeah.
And the thing is that you can have just the same amount of worries going on in the future, just the same amount as regrets going on in the past. But if you can become present, and what I mean by that, Mark, is actually noticing where your mind is at. Is it drifting back to the past? Is it in the future? If you can bring it back to the present, you can still be feeling rough from the beers from the night before. But because you're with that feeling, because you're not fighting it and you're present with it, it passes so much more quickly.
Sure.
Does that make sense?
Oh, I like this, dude. I like this. And it's great that you say that about the whole 10 pint thing, because, you know, most Mondays when I do my coaching, I work with busy over 30s men. A lot of guys are coming in with that regret, with that negative self-talk. Oh, I shouldn't have done it. And I say, listen, look, you are where you are. You are where you are right now. You need to draw a line in the sand. A lot of guys I work with are high-level entrepreneurs. They're their own man. They've got their own business. And they're coming in, and I can see they're giving themselves a hard time. And I'm like, I know where you're at in your head now. You're telling yourself you shouldn't have done that. And now you're going to go on an ultra restrictive, clean eating all week. You're not going to allow yourself anything. I said, stop telling yourself in your head what to do. You're your own boss. You don't take orders. You are where you are now, and that's where you're at. We're just going to get on with it, and we're going to make today great, right? You know?
Really good. I really like that a lot.
Yeah.
I've got a client, Mark, called Lisa. She won't mind me telling you guys about her, who does frequently get smashed. And he's this, he's that. She's in great nick.
Yeah.
She's a really happy, bubbly person. When she comes in to a session feeling rough because she's toxic, she's just feeling rough and she's toxic. You see, the thing is, Mark, there's one thing feeling bad, but it's another thing entirely feeling bad for feeling bad.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
That's the wisdom I want people to learn. It's okay to feel bad. You know, you know, this whole thing of like happy, mate, that's bullshit.
Yeah, of course it is.
We're talking about allowing yourself to just feel like you're hungover and then just do your workout. Like, but that's about mindfulness of the present, because if you allow your mind to start racing, like you said, like this negative self-chatter, if you allow that to happen, you're going to start to feel worse.
Yeah.
So the key is, Mark, is that meditation that I recommend people do every single day, it's kind of the one thing, Mark, like out of everything that I prescribe for people, like in terms of, you know, well-being and happiness, if they're going to miss off everything off that list, this 100-thing list, do not miss that one thing, that meditation right. or mindfulness in the day where you spend 5 to 10 minutes in the day. It doesn't matter when you do it,
right?
Because it could be, you know, when you're taking a shit in the morning. It could be,
I love it,
in the evening when you just watch, you know, just before you watch telly. It you know, there's this again, like just like what you were saying. It doesn't have to be standing under a tree in bare feet or sitting on a mat with, like, you know, incense sticks. This is just real life, sitting down, and all you're gonna do is just take deep breaths. That's it.
Right.
Just deep breaths for 5 to 10 minutes. Set a timer on your phone. I'd recommend people set a timer on their phone because...
Okay, good, good. Come on, elaborate on this because this is applicable to the lads and also myself. It's great.
Yeah, no, it is. And it's about taking 4 seconds inhalation through your nose. So it's like 4 seconds and then for 4 seconds out your mouth.
Sure.
And on a physical level, I'll tell you what it does on a few different levels. On a physical level, what it does, Mark, is it releases serotonin, because what happens is when you take a deep breath, the reason why we always feel really good after a deep breath is because when you take a deep, deep, deep breath, it releases your vagus nerve, or it touches your vagus nerve, which is a little nerve just below your chest, below your breastplate.
Sure.
And when you take that deep breath, you trigger the vagus nerve, and the vagus nerve releases serotonin, which, as you all know, is our main kind of relaxation, chill-out hormone.
Yeah.
So you immediately feel more in control, more present, more calm from just deep breathing. Let alone, Mark, if you do the thing I'm going to talk about next, which is the mental part.
Mm.
Let alone if you do any of those parts, even if you just sit for 5 minutes and take really deep breaths, you're going to feel so much better.
Yeah.
But the next bit is the mental part. Now, the mental part is channeling your mind. So what you'll notice is when you sit and meditate for the first time, if you've got any newbies who are going to try this.
Yeah.
Is that when you sit and do this, and you just sit and breathe, and there's no distractions, is that you will obviously hear your own mind. That's the kind of the whole point of meditation. You get to suddenly tune in to exactly what is going on inside that head of yours. And for a lot of people, that thing's running at a million miles an hour, but that's okay. It doesn't have to be, you know, we are like you said on your thing, we are where we are. People are at the stage they're at. But what you got to do is just notice your thinking, notice your thoughts, and then once you've noticed them, bring your attention back to the sound of your breathing. That's the simplest way to begin meditation, because trying to say to someone, stop thinking, is probably the hardest thing to do in the entire world, and if not impossible, because thoughts are always being generated, you know, thinking about the washing up, what's the missus said, the bills to pay, blah, 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 whatever. The key is you don't have to try and force not thinking, because that's a skill that takes place much, much later down the line. That's like a pure bliss that you will get the more you practice meditation. But to begin with, Mark, it really is just thoughts are going da-da-da-da-da-da like this.
Yep.
Notice it. And then your attention, bring your mindful attention, your mind focus back to that sound of the breath. So the sound of, just bring your attention back to that. And just by doing that, it's going to start to train you in how to become more focused. Because what meditation does, Mark, apart from making you feel incredibly present, which is really where life is, because life is only in the now.
Yeah.
There is no future or past.
There
is only now moments. And it's a bit like, Mark, it's like when the oak tree turned to the badger and said, you know, what time is it? And he said, oh, it's now. It's like a little line that I use sometimes,
I like that.
because nature doesn't understand. You know, a badger doesn't understand. Like, he doesn't have a watch. He's just like, well, it's now, isn't it? Like, you know, when else would it be?
Yes.
But the point is, apart from it making you much more present, which is really where life is, where all the joy in life is, what it also does, Mark, is it's phenomenal for productivity, because when you can focus on one task at one time with single, pure, absolute focused energy, you get it done with more skill, there's more joy, there's more flow, more energy, more passion. You don't let your mind become distracted by that other thing. And you know, it's a way of not only producing more, because you just get so much more done because your energy's higher, but you also notice that all those other things that you thought were really important, you can just ditch to one side and accept that you can't do right now.
Yeah, I like it a lot. I like it. Very applicable there as well. I want to sort of backtrack a little bit and you talk about the whole sort of worry thing. This is really interesting because so many guys that I speak to, myself included, we all worry, right? We've all got, you know, a lot of we've got kids, we've got bills to pay, all that. And isn't it funny, right? You know, quite often I've, you know, running a business, growing a business, I've woken up in the middle of the night and I find myself worrying, oh, I've got a VAT bill, or I've got a program launch that hasn't gone too well, and this, I need to pay this, I need to pay that, la, 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 la. And you actually, you find yourself awake, stressing over stuff, your mind wanders and you think, oh my God, you know, this is going to happen, or this is going to happen. And actually, you know, the next day, in the cold light of day, things aren't actually that bad. Like, what is the worst that can happen? And you realize just how away with anxiety and away with these thoughts of worry that you can become, especially like in the early hours, right? And I read a great quote, and it said, you know, quite often, like, worry will consume you, but things will never actually turn out as... When was the last time something actually turned out as bad as what you actually thought it would during whatever hour you were awake during the night, you know?
It's so true, Mark, and there's a little rule that I call the 99 rule, and I spoke about it a lot on the ITV Lorraine stuff, which was that 99% of our greatest worries will never come true.
I love it.
Sorry, do you want me to say that again?
Yeah, Mark? Say that again, buddy.
Yeah, so the 99 rule is that 99% of our greatest worries will never come true.
And you're so right.
And to be honest, Mark, the 1% that might, we've proven on thousands of occasions in our lives before that we've got more strength, courage, and resilience to handle the outcomes than we think. So we've got the whole thing covered. Like, you know, generally speaking, let's be really, really honest, and you know this, Mark, it's just not going to happen.
Yep.
Like, because guess what? It hasn't happened. You know, it hasn't happened on millions and millions of occasions. And we tend to worry when we're like, just exactly like you said, it really just doesn't come true.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's like, you know, in the past, like, you're late on a bill or something like that, and you're stressing it. You actually go, okay, actually, let me just take a... Right, I remember, you know, once I was like a day late paying my VAT bill, and I was having all kinds of crazy thoughts during the middle of the night. Like, oh my God, I'm going to go to jail. And I ended up having a 10% fine. And it was like, oh... Shit, you know, you've just been lying awake all night worrying that you were late on your VAT bill. And what was the worst that happened? I got a fine. Will I do it again? No, I won't. Did I go to jail and never see my kids again? No. But that's where I was, like, at one point in the middle of the night. And it's funny, isn't it? Interesting as well, because my son, John, who's only 4, he had to have an eye test yesterday. We got a letter from his school saying, look, you know, he'd failed a test. And he had been, bless him, he'd been so anxious about it. No, mummy, daddy, I don't have glasses. I'll get picked on, etc., etc. And, you know, we had to bribe him with, you know, we'll get you there, son. And, you know, you can go and pick a toy afterwards from a toy shop. And when he got there, I didn't go in because I was in the car with the little one. But Sarah said, my partner said, he was an absolute dream. And when he got in there, he was like identifying all different shapes and colours and animals, etc. And when he came out, he was so excited about it. Daddy, I could do this, I could do that. And I said to him, John, I said, was it as bad as you thought it was going to be? He said, no, Daddy, I enjoyed it. And I said, well, this is it, son. I said, quite often in life, you're going to get worried about things. You're going to get anxious about things. But they actually will never turn out as bad as you actually perceive they will.
Yeah, it really doesn't, mate. It, you know, the amount of times I'm just the same. You know, we are all human, and the amount of times that I've worried about stuff. And interestingly, being a fellow entrepreneur, like you said, you know, I pop stuff out online. And here's the other thing as well about worry, Mark. And I'll give this exact example to being an entrepreneur is that I pop stuff out online, worried about how it's going to do, and it's really funny, Mark, because if I just let that go and I just step away and go, do you know what? Well, again, remember the 99 rule. If I just allow it time to grow on its own, it tends to work out fine.
Yep.
But if I let my mind overthink and worry, I start changing things. I start deleting things. I start canceling events. I do all these things. So
wow,
it's amazing how worry can take over your life if you let it. But the thing is what you're going to do is you've got to just notice your own mind. And if you're someone who tends to overthink and overanalyze, you've got to remember the 99 rule, but on a really practical level, Mark, this is the next thing. You've got to take yourself away and just take a few breaths. Because when I've got something out online and it's just taking a while to sell, for me, it comes back to taking deep breaths and accepting what I can't control.
Sure.
Because that's really what worry is. What we're trying to do is we're trying to create full control over our lives, Mark, but we can't do that. And the truth is, it comes back to this wisdom and this truth, which is we can always choose how we want to feel. Because I know it sounds like, well, you know, how do you do that? Well, you just become more conscious. You notice that you're overthinking. You step away from the situation.
Yep.
And you go, come on, mate, take some breaths, go for a walk. You come back. And I did this, Mark, and I did this recently, and I had an event. And I did just leave it alone. I didn't touch it. And eventually sales started picking up, and it went fine. And it was like, if I'd deleted it at that early stage and stopped the event too soon, I would have let my overthinking get in the way of my success. So, so much of this game of worry is not only about feeling better, but it's also about giving us more success as well. You know, whether that's in our relationships, whether that's in the kind of foods we're eating, the kind of entrepreneurial success that we want to have as people. If we come back to the present moment and just take some deep breaths, what we normally find is that everything's going to work out fine.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you talk...
So that's the book, really, the GAP, the Filling the Happiness Gap.
I love it, buddy. So, okay, so I want to talk about a little bit about you saying about being in the present, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is really interesting, and, you know, this is something I'm trying to work on a lot myself, because, you know, we live in an age where there's social media, and, you know, I run an online business, so I've got multiple groups that I'm checking in on, and you know, for me, my work is my passion. It's also a little bit of an addiction as well. I can't help it. I'm extremely passionate about what I do, and I know you're the same.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's very hard to be present. You know, I always say, oh, I'm a hands-on dad and I'm at home with my kids. But, you know, you can quite often, you find yourself, you're checking your phone, you're checking in on Instagram, or you're doing this or you're doing that. And I'm sure a lot of other guys would be the same, you know. So how do you go about getting people to totally be in the present?
It's a really good question, and actually it kind of translates directly to my kind of my passions, which are work, but also being out in nature. Because if you can have a time in your day where you are sort of absolutely free from your phone, and you maybe even put it on flight mode, it will just calm you down. Because what we tend to find is that when we're online, we become quite unconscious. We start flicking through stuff. We start checking comments. We start looking at this. We start going through that. And so much of the feelings that go on when we're looking at online social media in particular is feelings of comparison.
Yep.
And of jealousy. And of all these, they're very unconscious feelings. Feelings that are going on when we see the kind of what I call the trailer to the movie of people's eyes. Because you see, the thing is, Mark, is that social media is not a real depiction.
Highlight reel, dude.
It's the highlight reel.
Yeah.
So what we see is this highlight reel, and then think that's how someone's life is. When, of course, the reality is that, you know, day to day, you know, we're brushing our teeth, we're farting, we're making food, we're walking through town, we're, you know, living mundane, normal lives. That's life. It's not this kind of big, big highlighty thing. So I'd really highly recommend that what people do is that, you know, aside from that 5-10 minute meditation thing that I recommended each day, is to, if people weren't necessarily inclined to do that and they wanted something that was just a bit more easy to fit into their day, it's just being mindful for even just 10 minutes in the day where, let's say, before you go into work, you know, you don't have anything going in your ears, no music, you don't have your phone on, you put it on flight mode, and you just literally take in your surroundings for like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And that alone, Mark, can make someone present enough to realize that life is actually pretty good.
Do you know what, dude? I this is great, right? Because I'm lucky enough to live on a farm. We've got a lovely place on a farm, and I love it when the clocks go forward and those light nights happen. Because what I love to do is I'll get up early and I'll get up before the kids and I'll just stand in my garden with a coffee. And like, you can hear the chickens, you can hear the birds, you can see the sun come up, and it's amazing. It's amazing. And, you know,
that's so cool.
Then quite often you go, I'll get your phone and post it on social media. But you're right. It's just like, cut all that out and just enjoy that moment, you know?
It is true, mate. And it's so simple.
Yep.
But we tend to get into the habit of jumping straight on our phone and losing the moment.
I'm guilty of this appreciation,
which we've all done. Yeah. You know? I've done that and I still do that sometimes. Geez, I'm not perfect.
Yeah.
But no, it is, mate. It is about kind of getting much more present each day. And it, like I said, it doesn't have to be this labeled thing called meditation. Although I do recommend people do that. It can just be like you just said, you know, just standing in the garden. I love that.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So this is really interesting as well. I spoke to Pat recently, Pat DeVille, and I always like to sort of quote what other guys have said on the podcast. And Pat said he journals a lot. We'll talk about journaling in a second. And he said what he liked about journaling is that you can just write down when have you been at your happiest late, you know, in recent times? And he put me on the spot and he said, Treg, you know, when have you been at your happiest recently? You know, pick a time. And I said, it was literally down on Barry Island with the kids. The boys were on their scooters and me and my missus were just walking up and down. And then we had some fish and chips on the seafront. And he said, I bet it didn't cost you anything, did it? I was like, no, it just cost me, you know, the price of fish and chips for me and the kid. And he said, it's so simple. So it's so simple to do. And yet we're running around, we're comparing ourselves to others, we're looking on social media, we're trying to find happiness through people liking our stuff and all that, when actually it's just there. Like, what the simple things are just out there. Just get outside with your family. You talked a lot about getting outside. You know, my two boys, if I keep them in the house cooped up, they end up killing each other. The minute you get them out in the fresh air, they don't need anything. They don't need toys. They don't need iPads. They don't need bloody Fireman Sam. All they need is puddles, sticks, and just to get outside.
Yeah, it's so true, Mark. And you know, there's a really amazing study that I read about recently, which was that, and it was the, it's been the longest, the most expensive, or highly invested epidemiological research study of all time. It's actually from Harvard University, and it's cost now $300 million over 80 years. And what it did is, it's really interesting, is that basically back in 1948 or 52, the Harvard University wanted to follow the lives of, I think, something like 30 or 50 guys or something,
right,
over the course of their lives, okay, and monitor their well-being and happiness all through that stage. And they've obviously collated data every year. But of course, the more impressive research is done over the course of their whole lives.
Sure.
So the question was, what is it that makes a good life, makes a happier life? And really, Mark, it came back down to one overriding feature out of these 50 guys. There was this absolute one feature that if this was in place, that it would override all others. And it was about people.
Really?
And the quality, not even quantity, because it's not about how many, but it was the quality of the relationships that we nurture in our lives has the greatest impact on our happiness. And that doesn't cost anything.
No.
That's about an investment of time and energy and being present with people and bringing joy and bringing love and bringing all those amazing good feelings to the present moment.
Yeah.
And like you said, being distraction-free, being on the seafront just with your family, having fish and chips. Dude, that's the simplest thing in the world.
Yeah.
But and it doesn't cost anything. It doesn't have to be like, you know, spectacular, this, that, flashy, blah, blah, blah. It doesn't have to, you know, be a million quid. It is just about that feeling of kinship, being with your family in that way. And that's just, it's a wonderful feeling.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is. I remember Paul Mort came out with something and he said it's like with his kids, you have like an emotional bank account. And as long as you're investing in that every day by giving them time, giving them your presence, then, you know, if that one day daddy can't take them somewhere, they will understand because you've made so many of these emotional deposits in their account that they know that, you know, that they accept that, oh, okay, right, daddy can't do that with me today. But if you're constantly going, oh, not now, son, not now, this, I'm busy, I'm this, that, and the other, then, you know, unfortunately, that's not going to help in the long run. So you've got a daughter, right, Will?
I do, mate, I do.
How old is she?
By the way, before I go there, I'm going to really borrow that bank account thing. I really love that. That's fantastic.
So how old's your daughter now?
She's just about to turn 3 in about a month or so.
Yeah.
And I mean, mate, I just, because I really liked listening to what you were saying there, because I know that when I haven't invested that time in my daughter and I've maybe been working a bit too much, I notice it. I do. Yeah. Like she's not quite as willing and wanting to be around me as maybe as before. Whereas if when, you know, on the flip side, when I do invest that time, I can really feel it from her. She's like, oh yeah, okay, daddy's actually putting in a bit of time to this. And really, Mark, it's about this kind of this real fine balance. And Jesus, mate, you know, if we could get the perfect balance, then, you know, maybe we've really reached the utopia. I don't know if it even exists. But you know what? It's this balance between give and take.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm not going to ever say I've got it perfect, but it's a daily challenge that we're going to rise up to, and we're going to kind of, you know, manage our lives in a way that we base things upon intuitive feelings. If we intuitively feel like we've gone too far down that, you know, that work road,
yeah,
then we know that, and I think we all know that truth. We all know when we put a little bit too much time in that work. Yep. So intuitively, at that point, we then got to go, right, it's time to rebalance.
But, that's it.
But it's just like a river. It bends, it weaves, it bends. You know, it's never one straight line all the way down. We're jostling with the balance. That's the art. It's what's called the art of happiness.
I like that, the art of happiness. And I think that as busy guys, we've got careers, entrepreneurs, what have you. I experience guilt all the time, buddy, right? And, you know, like my kids are my absolute life. I'll die for them. I'll do everything I can for them. But there's sometimes that daddy has got to work and daddy's got to be locked in his office. Otherwise, they'll try and fucking ram raid the door on their car. And I do. It's a daily battle of have I put in enough? But I think that's a whole part of that awareness, isn't it? And self-development is actually being aware. It's like, you know, when we finish this podcast in five, I know you've got to go in five, buddy, but I've actually said to my partner, right, I am finishing work at this time, which will be 4:30, and that is it. The laptop is shut down. I'll be totally present with the boys. And I think it's just being aware, isn't it? It's always going to be a battle. You're always going to feel a little bit guilty for having to work, but it's about that awareness. Would you agree?
It totally is, mate. We you know, the journey we're on is a journey of self-management, and life is a journey of self-management. We have just got to be aware of ourselves enough to know what we not only need to do, but also want to do, because sometimes it's about giving back to ourselves as well, Mark. You know, it's about giving to others. It is, and I think again on that same thing with balance in mind. Often, I'm sure you can empathise. There have been times where you've given, and actually you've almost noticed that you've given a bit too much, and maybe you need to give back. Has that happened before?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah.
So it's that as well. We're jostling with all those different competing things. And really, do you know what, Mark? I think it comes back to something very, very simple. Do we feel, and this comes back to three things that our bodies and minds are always telling us. We have our thoughts, our heart, which is our intuition, and our gut, which is our instincts. And those three things are always telling us stuff about ourselves, about our lives, about where we're going. And if we can just slow down each day and tune into those thoughts, tune into our intuition, into our heart, and tune into our instincts, which is our gut. If we can tune into those three, then we know what the truth is. And the truth is very simple. You just follow that truth. You follow where you know you need to go.
I like it a lot, dude. I like it. Will, it's been a great 47 minutes. A little bit shorter of a podcast than I normally like to do, but I know you're a busy man and you've got a client calling in to you in 2 minutes. So look, Will, we're going to wrap up. Tell the guys that listen to the podcast where they can find you first off on social media. And again, just confirm when the book is out.
Yeah, so thanks, Mark. So just if you want to see me on Facebook, it's Will Foster Coaching.
Yep.
Very simple. And then my book is coming out this November in bookstores and also on Amazon. So there'll be some links up for that as well. And I've also got a couple of seminars. I've got a seminar taking place in Dublin this May and also in London in at the end of May. So yeah. I've got a fair few things on there. So you'll see it all on my social media.
Fantastic. Will, I am going to speak to you, not now because I know you've got to shoot off, but I'm going to start to put on some seminars over here in Cardiff, and I'd love to speak to you about having you come and talk, dude, because I think you'd be amazing value.
Amazing, mate. It's been awesome to be on here, mate. And I love your energy. You've got a wicked way about you. You've got so much passion and energy. I love spending time around you, mate.
Brilliant. Appreciate that, Will. Okay, guys, look, Will's got to fly because he's a busy guy. But I really hope you got some great value from that. Will, thank you so much for coming on, dude. And guys, look, if you like this podcast, all 50 minutes of it, please give it a share, give it a like, let us know what you thought to this. Like I said, we switched tracks a little bit today. Today was all about mindfulness. I've got some great value in that 50-minute conversation, and I hope you guys did too. So this is Coach Treg signing off, and also Will signing off.
Cheers, guys.
All right, guys. Guys, keep trucking, and I'll talk to you soon.